Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Corbin Carson has taken a closer look at voter fraud and where we stand.
What's up, Corbin? How are you?
Man, I'm doing good. Just trying to keep safe from murder hornets.
This is a huge topic, this suggestion that there is a chance that we'll see voter fraud. Now, give us an idea of what it is that we're talking about when we say the term voter fraud.
So as a quick catch up, throughout the week, we listened to voters' concerns and took them to these election and academic and law enforcement officials for an explanation on what protections are for mail-in ballot fraud, ballot dumping, double voting, dead person voting, signature verification, ballot harvesting, voter intimidation, and in-person fraud. On Monday, which we talked about, we took a full examination of the mail-in ballot process. I took a lot of those concerns to the OC Registrar Neil Kelly about where those could, you know, fraud could be. In the last few days, we talked more about those election fraud concerns to those officials to see what protections were in place. And I want to start with how people feel about voter fraud in general, because they don't understand, you know, a lot of times what the terminology is. And listen to some voters who really are hearing this stuff in the news and hearing this stuff in the media, and they really genuinely are concerned about keeping elections secure.
There's been so many reports. Who do you believe?
Fraud's a huge problem. All the special interests.
They're sending out ballots to dogs and people that are dead.
What could go wrong? All they're doing is throwing away ballots, and you're finding ballots in trash cans.
What would you say to the reports, and I'm using air quotes, of voter fraud being insignificant, that the cases that they found is very low, lots of media, but also a couple of presidential, Trump had a council that was set aside to find vote fraud. Bush had a really extensive one.
Right.
Does that make you feel better, or do you feel like...
No, it doesn't make me feel better in the least whatsoever.
And listen, I got to know a lot of these people. They trust KFI, they trust our reporting, and even after speaking to a lot of these voters for an extended period of time, nothing will change a person's idea. Like, they're always going to say, what about this or what about that, and for right cause. I mean, you see in the news ballot boxes are being lit on fire, or this person shows up and they have 10 ballots in their mailbox, or they've heard that they're being dumped, and that's what we're dealing with. And so another part we talked about, which was part four, we break down the difference between election fraud and voter fraud. And one of the things I realized when talking to these voters is many would give the popular phrases, again, the ballot dumping, the ballot harvesting, voting several times, how flawed the signature process is, you know, massive registrations, dead people on the rolls. But, you know, as I get to talk to them further and press them about specifics, people would start throwing stuff they had just heard about. You know, immigrants could be voting. How do you stop people sneaking over here to vote from other countries and things like that? And these are all different types of election irregularities, and some or many don't really involve a voter casting a vote, yet they're still being called voter fraud. And this is just what really adds to the fear to something that's not always connected. But one of the things I wanted to do was to make sure, and here in Orange County, I asked OC Registrar Neil Kelly, look, you've been doing this 17 years. What have you seen as far as voter fraud?
So individuals that have changed information on a voter registration card that they may be collecting, there have been several cases that have been prosecuted here in Orange County for that. And people are serving prison time right now because of that. I have also been involved with some campaigns and candidates that sent out false information to voters. That could fall under that election fraud issue. And then there's been a lot of cases related to residency fraud, you know, where candidates say, I live here, but they don't really live there.
And again, if you hear that, what he is explaining, he talked about a dozen cases over the course of his 17 years as the OC, as the registrar here in this county. And he's talking about different types of things that don't necessarily have to do with a voter casting a vote. And that's the biggest issue, I think, with this terminology. And a lot of that stuff is what we're going to get through into next week, a growing distrust of our election system here in America.
I know that the section episode 5 is going to be on harvesting and voter intimidation. You want to talk about that when we come back?
Sure thing.
Awesome.
Sounds fun.
Corbin Carson has joined us. We're talking about his new series that you can find some of the episodes on our website if you go to KFIAM640.com and use the keyword fraud. Corbin Carson has joined us. We're talking about voter fraud and things that affect our balloting as we get a little bit closer to our November 3rd election. You can go online KFIAM640.com, use the keyword fraud, and you can hear some of the episodes that Corbin's put together. Corbin, harvesting and voter intimidation are a couple of issues as well that you've been able to look into.
That's correct. Yeah, you can hear these that are running today, the voter intimidation and the ballot harvesting. And if you go on the online, you know, we have been playing these kind of shortened versions throughout the week, but there is a much longer and a deeper dive into each section, each part that is online. And before I get into intimidation and ballot harvesting, I just want to always constantly remind people, because I know after hearing from voters how strongly they feel about this, that no one has told me from the election officials, the academics, or the law enforcement that this is not to say that voter fraud or election irregularities do not happen.
Happens to all of us.
Right. Move on. Okay. So anyway, the officials that I talked to said that they worry about this regularly. They all told me about cases. They all mentioned constantly improving the process. They all admitted they don't catch everything, but they all say that they're on guard. They're always watching, and that these even the cases that you hear are that these are low rates that have happened, that have been found, but this is not to say that, you know, we're just going to, you know, it'll never happen type thing. So anyway, as far as voter intimidation, there have been comments made by the president asking his supporters to go to the polls. And, you know, here in California, that is legal if done within the rules. And, you know, one side believes that will lead to voter suppression, which is funny about all of these issues. One side believes one issue like signature verification will lead to rampant fraud because it's not a thorough system, but yet the other side feels that it will lead to suppression because of so many ballots being rejected. And that kind of goes into the nuance of this issue. But anyway, we talked to Orange County DA Todd Spitzer, who made it very clear that he is working on working with law enforcement to make sure that voters are able to cast their ballots without intimidation.
We have had some civil protests in recent weeks. We have had violence in recent weeks, and we will not allow this election to be denigrated in any way whatsoever when it comes to enforcing an individual's right to vote.
And then I spoke to his top lead election fraud prosecutor. This is OC Senior Deputy DA Denise Hernandez, about several trainings that she's been giving law enforcement over the recent weeks on what to look for. And I also asked her, you know, look, you're the head guru on election fraud in Orange County. Are you like super slammed with election fraud cases?
It's very rare. It's really not as much as people are making it out to be.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what that entails? Like, what are you telling law enforcement people to look out for?
What to look for as far as the voter fraud, people voting that aren't eligible to vote, people voting twice or voting for someone else, talking about voter intimidation, putting up signs. If somebody puts up a sign that says, you know, only U.S. citizens can vote, that's a violation. What to look for in the voting centers, making sure that the observers know where they can and they cannot be.
So this is the top law enforcement person who's saying, hey, we're on it, we're looking, but it's still kind of rare, the cases that we're actually prosecuting and seeing. And then a lot of voters I also talked to, they brought up ballot harvesting. Many told me, how is that even legal? One of the biggest concerns I heard from them, it is the legal process of ballot harvesting. A 2016 law in California made it so any party can go and grab collect a vote from anyone else, as many as they want, and turn them in on the election day. The idea being that there are disenfranchised voters out there that can help get to the polls. Both sides are supposed to are usually using this to their advantage, but you do hear a lot of complaints about, you know, what is that mean? You know, what is the process and what does it mean? So I asked the OC Registrar Neil Kelly about it, and here's what he said.
It's so rife for fraud and for some bad actors to really gobble up a bunch of ballots and do what they want.
Ballot harvesting, that was a big issue. Someone knocks on my door and says, hey, can I get your ballot? What?
I, you know, was never a big fan of that law. But let's be realistic for a second. you're a voter. Are you really going to want to turn your ballot over to somebody that you don't know?
Let's play that out. I pick up your ballot. I do this 15 times. I go and I change from Trump to Biden or Biden to Trump. How would your system catch that?
So we know that that occurred, right? North Carolina. That was a well-known case in a congressional race. And when the ballot comes in, one of the things that our automated system does is it's looking for anomalies in the envelope. So if the envelope has been opened and then resealed, that is something we're going to pick up in that equipment.
And then a lot of the theme that we've been hearing from election officials is about the data, how there is real-time data at all these polling places. If somebody votes through the mail, and then tries to vote in person, they will know at the polling places, hey, you already voted. They can see that. And that was what was one of the things that was really interesting to me.
The issues of currently that are going on between the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, and the Republican Party about these official/unofficial ballot boxes. Have you been looking into that too?
I have, and that is the issue of ballot harvesting, because the question becomes what constitutes ballot harvesting? Are you allowed to put something out there that says Republican Party, here's a box where you can dump your ballots and we'll put them in, because that's legal. And then are you allowed to say that this is, are you allowed to create a election box that says official box? And that's what they've been arguing about. Is it official? Is it not official? What can they do? And that's going to be an argument between, lawyers to decide what are the legalities of picking up someone's a ballot and putting it in. But again, these are sealed. If you're harvesting ballots, you have to pick up a signed, a filled out, already sealed ballot with the signature on top. And the idea being that even if someone were to pick up a ballot and other than dump it and then try to change it and then turn it in, the machinery is supposed to pick up any opened and reclosed ballots, or the signature verification will look, they'll check to make sure that's good. Or if they just throw the ballot away and the person gives it to them, they can look online and see, hey, did my ballot make it through? When it was counted, you can check the life and the process of that ballot. But one of the most interesting things I found is that I have like a little list that I'm running of things that would have to happen in order for a ballot to be to be cast fraudulently. I mean, what are the circumstances that would have to line up? Because what I'm hearing is a lot of people like to cherry pick one thing and then call it ballot voter fraud. So let's just say, if you see in the mail, I got 10 ballots sent to the same address, and then they're saying that's voter fraud. Or they're saying, I saw 100 ballots that were found in the trash. That's voter fraud. But it doesn't work like that. A bunch of things have to happen for a ballot to be considered, to actually be cast and counted. So one, you have to have a ballot that no one is using. So if you found that 10 ballots that were sent to the same address and you decided, I'm going to fill all these out, you would have to assume all 10 of those people are not voting. Because if any one of those 10 decides to vote, they're going to show up at the center and say, hey, I'm here to vote. And they're going to be like, you already voted. And then obviously the person's going to be like, no, I didn't. And then they're going to track that ballot and say, like, here's the ballot. Where'd it come from? Where'd it get sent? Then second, that ballot would have to survive signature verification. And if you just found 100 dumped ballots or got 10 in the mail, you'd have no way of knowing how to sign their name. And even the worst signature verifier in the world should be able to see the original signature is not the same as someone who's guessing what that signature might look like. And if they don't get it, keep in mind all these other things that I'm about to mention, including number one, would have to happen at the same side. And you would still need to have a ballot from a person who didn't vote. And then number three, you would have to be willing to risk years in prison for an unknown outcome. Think about it. If you vote in just one ballot, you're hoping that your ballot affects the presidential election. And the professors we talked to in this series say you need thousands of ballots to sway a presidential election. So, and then number three, if I still got time, there's two more real quick. I'm running out of time. You would have to be willing to take that risk. And then here's the kicker. This is all a paper trail. So it's state law in California that every vote is backed by a paper copy for the recount process. And crooks don't like paper trails. But here's why that matters. The study that we've been looking at, the presidential studies that a task force and all the studies that say there is no voter fraud, somebody would have found something over all these years to make sure that happened. So again, remember, if one just any all these things have to happen at once for just one vote to be counted.
And we're
does that
not.
Make sense?
Yeah, it does. So it's possible, but it's unlikely that it would be on a very large scale.
Very possible. I mean, you could even say, let's say a married couple for 80 years and what husband or wife dies and the other side just keeps voting. They know their signature. They know who they would vote for. Maybe nobody notices. But again, you're talking about one vote that and does that actually sway the election? And again, if that person ever gets caught, they're looking at a felony.
Corbin, thank you so much. Corbin Carson there. And you can check out all of his research and voter fraud stories on our webpage.
KFIAM640.com and then use the keyword fraud.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.